It is Pentecost Sunday, so we are going to be reading the story of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit story. It's in Acts 2, 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, and Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." That was the event that gave the disciples the Holy Spirit and also gave us the Holy Spirit. That connection between us and God, that part that is within us that helps us to communicate with God and helps God to communicate with us. And this whole speaking in other languages is, like I've mentioned before, that's how the Holy Spirit speaks through you to other people. Not necessarily in other languages, but it helps you to speak in ways that others understand. There was a teacher of a junior high class who wanted to illustrate the idea of a miracle. So she said to her class, "Young folks, suppose I stood on the roof of a 10-story building, lost my balance, and fell off. Then all of a sudden, in midair, a whirlwind swept me up and brought me safely to the ground. Now, what word would you use to describe this?" And after a long silence, a boy raised his hand and asked, "Luck?" "Well, true, true," the teacher said. "It could be luck, but that's not the word I'm looking for. Let me tell you the story again. There I am on top of the 10-story building again, and I fall. A whirlwind catches me in midair and places me safely on the ground. Now think, what word would describe that situation?" One of the girls in the class says, "Well, accident." Teacher says, no, that's not what we're looking for. Listen carefully for a third time. "I'm on that same building and I fall and I'm swept away to safety by a sudden whirlwind. What word would you account for my safely reaching the ground?" And all of a sudden, all together, all the boys and girls said, "Practice." She told that story three times, and they just didn't get it. It's all about miracles of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can make things like that happen. I know it may seem a little far-fetched, but strange things have happened in our lives, in our society, that we can only attribute to the Holy Spirit and to God. Mark Buchanan wrote a book called Hidden in Plain Sight. It tells about a friend of his named Gary. Gary is a very good preacher, but he wasn't always a good preacher. When he was a young youth pastor in this large church, early in his ministry, he was often not allowed in the pulpit. Because when he would get in the pulpit, he would preach with long, dull sermons filled with Greek explanations and theology people didn't understand. Well, one humid Pentecost Sunday, Gary was given the opportunity to preach about the Holy Spirit. And with solemnness, he starts out in Genesis, works his way through the Psalms, then the prophets, then the Gospel of John. An hour into the sermon, the congregation was wilting in the heat. But he was just getting started. He strode into Acts and told the story of the first Pentecost. He told about the little band of Christians huddled together, praying fervently, joyfully, and expectantly. And when he reached his climax, the Spirit hit like a tornado. And as he cried that out, all the windows in the church blew out, shattered, and wind rushed through the church. Turns out they didn't realize it, but during the service there was a tornado coming through town, which created a vacuum and blew out all the windows. Strangely enough, at the very same time, he said, the Spirit hit like a tornado. Strange things like that happen. You all remember here a few weeks ago, when I was telling a story about a seagull and the bird was tapping on the window. The Holy Spirit leads us in different ways and shows us things in different ways. There's another story by William Barker. It's in Tarbell's Teacher's Guide. It takes place in Denver, Colorado. This was a day that was completely calm and still, not a cloud in the sky, not even so much as a little breeze. These two young men are walking through town, and they happen to notice a mother and her daughter coming out of a gift shop. She's got a greeting card in her hand, holding on to her little daughter, and she's not paying attention to what she's doing. She's reading the greeting card while they're walking and is about to step out into the street in front of a bus. Well, one of the young men starts to yell out to get her attention, and about that time, this strange rush of wind knocks that greeting card out of her hand over her shoulder, so she stops and turns around to get the greeting card and avoids getting hit by the bus. Now, this is such a strange thing because it was a completely calm day and was calm after this incident. Where did that rush of wind come from? We all know, as Christians, that was the Holy Spirit saving that mother and that little daughter. They got to thinking about it after this all happened. The two young men were talking with each other, and they thought, you know, if that hadn't happened, and if I had been able to yell at her to get her attention, she probably would have looked up but continued walking right in front of that bus. The Holy Spirit knew that this was the only way to save their lives, was to knock that card out of her hand over her shoulder behind her so she would turn around. Jesus tells us in John 3:8, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. We celebrate Pentecost today, the day the disciples got the Holy Spirit through the rushing of the wind that came from heaven and went through this building where they were staying. And then the fire, the little flames up above their heads, and then speaking in tongues. They were probably speaking their own language that they understood, but others were hearing their own language that they spoke. And that's really speaking in tongues. So people trying to rationalize what happened will think about that time, the rushing wind, and they try to say, well, maybe it was a tornado. But then how do you explain the little flames up above their heads? You can't do that. Just like the people, when this happened, tried to tell them, oh, they're just drunk. Well, I don't care how drunk you get, you are not going to speak in a foreign language. You can't just rationalize the Bible away, like a lot of people try to do. Secular society tries to rationalize what happened in the Bible. Oh, it's just a history book. No, it's not a history book. It is the Word of God, inspired by God and written down by man. And the Holy Spirit is that comforter, that teacher. There are a lot of different names for it, that Jesus sent us when he went back to the Father. It's that part of God that fills that empty spot in our hearts. It's that part of God that lifts us up, that helps us to feel his presence in our lives. It's the part of God that helps us to speak to others because God knows what they need to hear. It may be somebody that's down and out, coworker, friend, and you just happen to call them up that time and tell them a few things, and they'll tell you, boy, I needed to hear that today. Sure you did. God knew you needed to hear that, and the Holy Spirit directed you to talk to them. And that kind of thing happens all the time. And that's how we spread the gospel. That's how we make disciples. We talk to people outside the church, and we relax and let the Holy Spirit speak through us. Let Him use us as the voice that talks to those people, but let it be His words. The Reader's Digest had a story about a mother whose family was visiting Wales. And you know how the Welsh language, it has trills and rolls and things in it. It's different. And a little six-year-old boy, when he heard them speaking, he says, Mom, you know, it sounds like they're scribbling with their tongues. And I guess in a way you could say that. And that may have been how the disciples sounded when they started preaching and people were hearing them in their own language. Peter assured the crowd after the verses we read that they were not drunk. It was only 9 o'clock in the morning. That would have been crazy. But it is what the prophet Joel spoke about. He says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Then Peter proceeded to tell them about Jesus, about Him coming, God coming in man form, about Him being sinless and being crucified to save us. He started talking about Jesus and saved over 3,000 people that very day. Oh, there were the scoffers, I'm sure, but He saved 3,000 people because they understood what He was saying in their language. They understood because of the Holy Spirit what He was talking about. They understood. They got it. Did you know that back in those days where we say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they did it the other way around? They would say, in the name of the Spirit, Son, and Father. And there's a reason that they did that. Because the Spirit, from our perspective, comes first. Because if you try to talk to somebody about God, they may not quite get it. You try to talk to somebody about Jesus, oh, they've heard the name, but they may not quite get it. But if you invoke the Holy Spirit first and you talk to them using the Holy Spirit, they will understand. Because God knows what they need to hear verbatim. Exactly what they need to hear. And so you will reach those people if you put the Spirit first. Then once you warmed them up with the Holy Spirit, you've got their attention, then you can try to get them into the understanding of Jesus. Then you can get them to understand discipleship and God. But you've got to let the Holy Spirit help you to get in touch with them first. And that's particularly true today in our postmodern world, particularly with young people. Young people are kind of against institutionalized religion. And that's one of the reasons our churches don't have a lot of young adults in them. They may believe in God, but they don't believe in the institution of the church. They try to get through society, get through life intellectually, through rationalizing things. They want a holistic approach to the gospel, one that gives them what they want to hear, one that allows them to see through their imagination what they believe everything is supposed to be like. There was a man talking about how at one point he used to make $100,000 a year, had 75 people under him, a condo in Aspen, and was being considered for the Senate, and then he switched to decaf. You'd probably have to be hopped up on caffeine to do a lot of those things. But I mention that because that's how a lot of our churches are today. They are on decaf. There's no enthusiasm anymore. There's no excitement about the Holy Spirit. We've talked about several times how the mainline churches, like Methodists and Presbyterians and Lutherans and so on, are very calm and quiet during a church service. And if anybody got motivated, got moved by the Holy Spirit and said, "Amen," or "Praise the Lord," everybody in the congregation would be going, because you just don't do that in a mainline church. But you know what? We should be doing that in our churches. Whether you're Methodist or Presbyterian or whoever, if you feel moved by the Holy Spirit because of something you heard in a sermon, say amen. Praise the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. You should be enthusiastic about God. We have to get back to that. And I know that some religions, like the Pentecostals, they're the ones that are picked on the most. They have a lot of spirit. They believe in speaking in tongues and interpretation and all those kinds of things. I don't quite believe that that's what speaking in tongues is about, but they have the spirit. And we need to get the spirit back into our mainline churches. We need to be enthusiastic about Christ. We need to lift each other up. Let the Holy Spirit come rushing through this room. Feel the Holy Spirit. There was a group of explorers who were in Africa, and going through the jungle, they reached this clearing, pretty good sized little clearing, and they noticed little campfires set up in a circle. There was 35 of them. They were perfectly built, had leaves, twigs, bigger sticks, nice little cone-shaped campfires. But they'd never been lit and weren't burning. And they happened to realize that what it was the chimpanzees that they could see in the trees around them were mimicking what they'd saw humans do. They knew how to build it. They were perfect little campfires, but they didn't have the fire to light them up. And that's what's lacking in our churches today. That's what's lacking in Christianity. We've got the perfect build-up, but no fire. You've got to be on fire for God if you're going to spread the gospel. You've got to have that Christian message. You've got to help people come to God. You need to use the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit use you to bring people to Christ. And we need Christ today more than we have ever needed Christ. If you look at the things that are going on around us, it's got to where you're seeing a school shooting once a month. Soon it's going to be once a week or every day. Because we've taken God out of our schools. We've taken the Spirit out of our schools. There are no morals there anymore. When we were young and went to school, I bet a lot of you drove pickup trucks to school with a gun rack in the back with a rifle in it. But you never went inside and shot anybody because we had God in our schools. We had that Holy Spirit there. We took God out of our schools and look what we've reaped. We've got to get back to the grassroots of Christianity. We've got to convince people that the Holy Spirit and Christ and God exist. And we need them. We need the power of the Holy Spirit today as we face terrorism, as we face economic troubles or environmental problems. And all these terrible things we see happening around the world and in this country and even inside our churches. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need that strength. And we also need the Holy Spirit in our personal lives. We need to feel that Holy Spirit inside of us because personal values are crumbling around us. We've got to get back to where Jesus is. And the Spirit is how we do that. A little over 100 years ago, on April 14th, 1912, the Titanic sunk. But the odd thing is, there were two ships within close enough distance to been able to save most of those people. And one, they didn't think they were going to get any more communications, so the radio men had turned the radio off. So they didn't get the message to save our ship. In another, the Californian, they were worried about icebergs, so they were sitting still. And because they were sitting still in the dark, the captain decided we're going to extinguish the fire in the boiler room that run the steam engines. So they were sitting there in the dark, still and cold. No fire. Had they had fire, they were only an hour and a half or less than reaching the Titanic. But because they didn't have any fire, they would have had to have lit the thing up, got the water hot, developed steam, been able to get underway. It was too late. The Titanic had already sunk. But see, that's what's happening in our churches. We've got no fire. We're sitting here cold in the dark. We've got to get those flames going and we've got to build up that steam so we can help God to help society, to bring society back to a moral balance. The Holy Spirit will do that. So on Pentecost Sunday, this Pentecost Sunday, that's why we talk about the Holy Spirit. That's why we celebrate the Holy Spirit. Because it is one part of God. It is one part of the Trinity. And whether you say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or whether you say Spirit, Son, and Father, doesn't really matter. What it's all about is believing in God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And let the Holy Spirit use you as a vessel to spread the gospel to others. There are people out there just in such desperate need for something. They don't know what it is they're looking for, but you do. And you can help them find it. Just let the Spirit use you. Amen.